He's smarter than Batman, stronger than Superman, and better looking than Thor. It's your host, Alex Curtis. Are you ready for the Batman?
Hello, welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast. It's me, myself, and Tom. I don't know why I said me and myself. They're the same person.
Yeah, we didn't practice this, did we?
We didn't, no. And to be honest, I'm not going to re-record it. I'm gonna roll with it. Tom, we're going to be talking about... We're doing a series of episodes on the KPIs that people should be looking at, whether they're working with an agency or they're running some ads themselves or they're doing any digital marketing themselves to get leads, which is, I think there's a lot of like... jargon, isn't there? And some stuff that we is like every day to us. I suppose a bit like if you're a mortgage broker, there's all this jargon that's every day for them, and you maybe forget sometimes if you don't deal with this stuff day in, day out, it can be a bit confusing.
Yeah, that's right. I think what we're going to be talking through is a few things that are kind of like a little bit more under the bonnet. I don't think we're going to get into like the mega sort of technicalities of bits and bobs, but there's a few things you can look at. And like you say, kind of like the general kind of KPIs we tend to look at. Obviously, the most important one is what's the cost per lead or the cost per conversion. But then everything that kind of feeds into that, there's a lot of different metrics that sort of feed into why a cost per conversion is high or low. So it's really understanding what to look out for and why that might not be as low as you want it to be.
Absolutely. And there's stuff we need to look at because we've said on the podcast before, it's not really, we can't create a cookie cutter campaign because brands perform differently, locations perform differently. So there's, if something's not working, there's, these are the KPIs that we look at where we need to adjust. And it's quite logical, quite forensic in terms of the way that we can deal with it. Cool. So this is part one. So this is all about if you're running ads, these are the KPIs to be looking at. If you're running Google ads, and then we're talking about attracting the traffic, getting the traffic for the right cost, getting enough traffic. Then we're going to do an episode on SEO, KPIs for, again, for attracting traffic. And then we're going to do an episode on KPIs for like on-site conversions. Google ads, and probably a lot of this you can probably bring into like Bing ads as well. They'll use a lot of the same terms and use similar jargon as well. But I suppose, should we assume that everyone knows their sort of keywords, their search terms? We could probably just briefly, we've probably given advice on this kind of before, the different kind of types of ways that you can search. But I suppose, really, let's assume that's set up and they've done that. And then they've spent, let's say, a grand or 500 quid or whatever, and looking back, and maybe it has not been as profitable as they would like. Maybe let's assume they've got some leads in and they were good quality and they want to get more of those for a better cost. What's the first thing that you would look at?
So obviously the first thing we would look at is, there's two main things that we would check in the first instance. One is the main thing is the conversion rate. So what is that in terms of that click to turning into a lead, and what it comes out as a percentage? Really, well, it's funny with your conversion rate. So your conversion rate can be good or bad depending on a lot of things. It can be obviously related to how relevant your keywords are, how relevant those keywords are to the destination that you're sending them to, your landing page or website. Normally, conversion rate, we tend to deal with it on an on-site problem. So if there's something we think, okay, so we're running something on mortgage broker as the keyword, so people are searching for mortgage broker, our ad appears saying mortgage broker, and everything else that goes with it. They click in it, they land on a site. So we know what that should really convert at. That should really convert north of anywhere between kind of maybe 6 and 12%, maybe slightly lower, 4 and 12% maybe. That's really, it should convert somewhere between that. So we know, okay, if it's at the lower end of that, if it's beneath that, we know there's a problem. Well, what can we do to try and improve that? Sometimes it can be how the content on the page, it can be the how the page is laid out, it can be the branding, it can be tons of different things. But that's the first thing we look at to see, okay, what's the problem? Is the conversion rate too low? And it might not be an on-site problem. It might be, okay, so are the keywords that we're using to drive traffic to that page, they may not be relevant enough. We say, again, we're sort of doing a mortgage broker PPC campaign, but depending on how it's set up, you could start to show for some terms that are a bit more stretched out than mortgage broker, not just on the keyword mortgage broker. So maybe more question based, like something like, what does a mortgage broker do? That could get swallowed up. And how does a mortgage broker charge fees? So you may be, depending on how your ads are set up, could be driving that sort of traffic to your site that isn't likely to convert. So conversion rates goes both ways. One, it's checking on your site. One, it's checking on your keywords. We're normally pretty rigid with the keywords we use because we know what works and what doesn't. So if there's a problem with conversion rate, normally we tend to think that's something up with the site maybe.
Glad you brought that up, because I was going to say, we're again assuming, because we've done so many campaigns for so many years, that we know what things to avoid, so we don't often look. But for someone listening, if they've set up their first campaign or early campaigns, they might be, you know, they may have ads running for mortgage broker jobs and not realize it, thinking that they're attracting mortgage clients looking for a mortgage broker rather than the other way around. It's, yeah, understanding what's going to convert, what's not, and thinking about who, if you want to offer advice, attracting the people that are searching for advice, not for rates and calculators and looking for other brands like Halifax and Barclays and things like that, unless there's a proposition in there that specifically you're competing against that brand for some reason, not just for a generic kind of someone looking for advice, if that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I did have something else that I picked up as you're talking about, forgotten. So we may have to carry on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, the next thing I was going to say was that, say, okay, just say conversion rate maybe isn't so much an issue, but you're still getting leads at quite an expensive, they feel a bit expensive for what they are. The next thing is to look at your, what's your cost per click? What's your cost of your traffic?
I'm all right to come back to conversion rate because I remembered what
I'm
going to say now. If those conversion rates sound low, it's because we're looking for like solid inquiries. If you've got a high, you may have a higher conversion rate if you've got like an ebook download, or there's like a lighter conversion if you're tracking something where it's not an inquiry. So you could probably get higher, 25% higher conversion rates with the less commitment you're asking for. But then is that going to get you speaking to someone straight away? So just, yeah, as we're pulling out those figures, someone's probably listening thinking, oh, I'm running ads, I've got a much higher conversion rate. I thought you guys were the experts. It's thinking about, we call a lead an inquiry, not a ebook download or a click on it. Some people track conversions as they've clicked on the Contact Us page. That's not a conversion in our eyes. So yeah, just clarifying that.
Yeah, that's right. And also, yeah, you did touch on it as well in terms of also what we do. We run everything. It's an actual solid inquiry, someone asking to be called back, or someone that's actually rang directly, which would be even better.
Did the phone tracking
episode. We did the phone tracking. And so what it is, it's really a case of, because what other people do, what you see some doing is if you're bidding on mortgage rates. So mortgage rates for PPC can be quite seductive because there's loads of search volume. There's, I think, about sort of last check, maybe 40-ish thousand searches a month. And that's just on mortgage rates. That's without kind of like the broader terms around it. And the cost of traffic's around 30 to 50p. You think, wow, that's amazing. I don't need a high conversion rate to turn that into a lead. The problem is most of those, the conversion rate is very low from turning those people from searching for a mortgage rate into turning into an inquiry for advice, because they're just rate hunters. They're not really looking for it. And then what you see pretty commonly is someone have a form that sort of promises rates in terms of give us some basic information, then we'll spit you the rates out almost like an aggregator site. And it secures the inquiry, secures the contact details. But the contact rates on those tend to be pretty low. Even though they're sort of maybe significantly cheaper than doing it through the mortgage broker, people looking for advice, you may get cheaper contact details through. But the time and effort and the contact rate and everything else that goes into trying to get in touch with these people, but even if you do get in touch with them, they may just sort of, oh yeah, now I was just looking to see what I could get kind of thing, isn't really ideal. And so when we try and think of it as best we can as almost like a cost per quality lead, how many of those actually turn into a quality lead? And is it actually cheaper than people looking for mortgage brokers and mortgage advice, which can be more expensive, cost per leads of anywhere between sort of 20 and 40 quid, depending on various different factors. But then if the contact rates double that of the other ones, then it's worthwhile and it saves the broker time. And all the feedback we get is that the way we do it currently, the quality of it's significantly better, where the more expensive cost is overridden basically by the quality of them.
Awesome. Perfect. So sorry, I cut you up and you were then going to go on to the cost per click.
I was talking about cost per click. Yeah, so the cost per click, yeah, just for those that aren't aware, Google Ads is basically, to a degree, an auction. People pay, you bid for how much you want to pay for a click. And that's sort of, if the more advertisers there are, the more competitive it is and the higher you have to bid. So in terms of, for most sort of campaigns around things like mortgage broker, mortgage advice, or mortgage advisors, should I say, we're really looking for between £2 and £3.50 a click is what we sort of quite like to pay. We get a reasonable conversion rate. Say if we can get that kind of, say pay £2 a click, then that's sort of 10% conversion rate. If we can get it, it's a 20 quid lead. You know, and even if the conversion rate's slightly lower, that's where you sort of get a 30 quid lead or whatever. So that's about right. But what you may find in some areas, we find this can be really localized, depending on how competitive it is in a certain local area, if there are a number of different brokers bidding on certain similar terms in a local area, those cost per clicks just keep going up. And you do sort of find there are some kind of like local pockets where the traffic expensive seems really sort of disproportionate. And I think we've ran them before, Alex. In the Midlands, it was Nottingham. I think Nottingham, the cost of traffic in Nottingham was something like four quid a click in comparison to Leicester, which is what, 30 miles away, which is about, I think at the time, even lower than £2 or £2.10 or £2.20 a click, almost half the price. despite being 20 miles away. And the difference was that it comes down to the competition in that area. And so that's something to look at as well in terms of what's the cost per click looking. Is it in a reasonable range when you consider your conversion rate? And because obviously the cost per click married up with the conversion rate tells you how much your leads are going to cost effectively that way. So that's one we look at as well in terms of, are we overpaying for clicks? Is the campaign we want to run probably going to be a bit too expensive? And that tells us, right, we might have to look at something else. And we have had to do that. There's been some areas where we've looked at it, Nottingham being one, where we thought, I don't think this is really going to be that viable. Or I think we can get better value leads by running something else, which we have done. But yeah, that's probably the second most important KPI to look at.
And then I think that KPI as well, I think you obviously touched on earlier that some, I think automatically the way our brains work, we want to avoid wasting money. So when, if someone's not got the kind of knowledge experience that we've got in running Google Ads, they will naturally gravitate towards the cheaper clicks because that feels like the right thing to do. The way we're built to survive, we look for the best value. But as you said earlier, because it's an auction, the more competitive something is normally means the more sort of money there is in there. I think we've had Pete Everett on the podcast before talking about keywords that he targets, and he actually uses the cost per click of a keyword in his SEO strategy. So he's, if it's an expensive keyword, he will look at that as like a good thing for SEO because it means there's value in that search, that there's money to be made in that kind of search. So often, I suppose it's really hard if you haven't got the experience, you don't know what a good value cost per click is. But a general rule of thumb, the more expensive it is, the more quality, the more you can get out of it. But then there's a kind of balance of being able to get enough clicks for your budget. I don't think there's like a tight kind of algorithm or maths to say, if you've got this budget, you shouldn't be looking over this kind of cost per click, if that kind of makes sense. I suppose you probably want to, if you take out that sort of 12%, 4 to 12% conversion rate, and then think how much that cost per click is and how many do I need to get a lead a day, that probably should be your minimum budget, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a sensible way to look at it. But yeah, you are right in terms of that. It is hard to have a set, if I'm going to spend, how much should I do for a cost per click? It's a strange one. It's almost, and also there's, it is a bit of, whilst it's an auction, it's also a bit of supply and demand. So we like terms of like mortgage broker, mortgage advisor, and because there's lots of search term, there's a lot of high search volume, but they're good quality. But because there's such a high search volume, the cost of traffic is cheap because there's enough traffic to go around, or a reasonable amount of traffic to go around within reason. So again, that's why we quite like that. And then you have some other terms that are maybe of similar quality, search terms of similar quality, something like mortgage broker or mortgage advisor, but their search volume's a lot less. But if it's maybe a bit more specific, like a specific buy-to-let term, for example, like maybe buy-to-let mortgage advisor is a good example. You can make a really specific landing page, really specific ad, and be really credible. But the cost of that traffic might be more expensive because there's lesser search. There's lower, not as many searches to go around, so the competition of it's higher. People are bidding more to get those clicks because it's a little bit more specialist. So then we have other specialisms that are a lot cheaper because people don't think to look at them or don't look at them. And they're the pockets where we really try and operate. But there aren't many of those left anymore. That's the thing with PPC. There are very few sort of unturned stones, which goes back to exactly that point of, in terms of, if a cost per click is quite high, it normally means it's probably going to convert quite well if you've got the right landing page. Or it certainly converts well for at least a handful of advisors that are bidding on it, because they're the ones that are dictating what that cost per click is.
Sorry, cut you up again, mate. Twice in one episode.
Wow. Yeah.
I just also, as my brain is red hot, firing all cylinders, there is also the other quirk, mortgages, financial services. There are areas that could be lucrative. So I'm thinking self-build mortgages, but because it's a pain, it's more work, a lot of advisors don't want to work in that space. They don't want those inquiries. They're either not experienced in it, or they've done it and it was a pain, it was a nightmare, I just want to avoid it. So there, it could be cheaper, but there's still value in there if you're happy to do the work, if that kind of makes sense.
That self was a really good
so
example.
It's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? It's like
really good example.
The more we talk about it, it is, yeah, you're right, really good example.
It is the same when we talk about within things like KPIs and generally talk about SEO. There's so many things you almost need to look at a bit of a case by case basis. And everything needs to sort of have a bit of scratching under the surface for it. But yeah, like you say, self-built is a good example. The cost of traffic's fairly low. I think it's maybe around two quid a click. Last time we sort of checked the other week, it's pretty low and it converts reasonably well because people need it. They have a problem. It's a problem that needs to be fixed. It can't always be sorted by just finding information online elsewhere or an aggregator site or whatever. So yeah, that's actually a really good example.
Another minefield with thinking self-build and other areas like holiday let as well. I think people investigate early on in their journey. And obviously, every broker wants business that's going to convert quickly. They've got the documents ready. And that's ideal. So it's, again, thinking about the products specifically that pretty much all brokers think the same way. Rarely do we get people that don't want Remo stuff.
Yeah.
And because it's quicker off the bat, they can plow through it and easier, and they've already got a mortgage, so it's not like they're not going to get one, if that kind of makes sense. So it's, if you are willing to go against the grain, then there are opportunities as well. So I think we're putting people off running ads because there's so much. Certainly doing it yourself is really hard, because it's really hard for us to be impartial, because it's what we do. But unless you're running a really specific basic campaign, we've got guys on the web, we had Jamie and Mark on, they're running some ads and doing quite well. Would I have told them to run ads without going on, learning about it first? They would probably admit that they would have not got it. But yeah, so many things that we take for granted, but we've had to muddle through it ourselves. At one point, we didn't know the quirks. We've had to go through the pain of working it out.
Yeah, that's right. And remortgage is actually a really good example of the other way, in terms of, huge search volume, but the cost of traffic is fairly high. You can sort of be looking anywhere between sort of seven to 12 quid a click, maybe, for a remortgage, because it's so in demand by brokers. Again, remember, it's an auction, so the competition's higher. Then you have sort of other kind of higher value products, things like bridging loans. Bridging loans, you're sort of looking, you can get cheaper clicks if you're quite happy with some specific terms, but generally, for general terms around bridging loans and bridging finance, you're looking between eight to 14 quid a click. But again, it's that expensive because it's reasonable value and people are making money out of it. We have some reasonable bridging campaigns running. And I say we've had some good ones that have been also on the cheaper side as well, in terms of if you're happy to look at more specific bridging reasons for bridging, should we say. I say there is value to be found. But yeah, again, there's no sort of unturned stones with things like this, or very few. And if it's expensive to bid on, it's normally because it's profitable for somebody.
So quick little tease for, we are planning on a bridging episode for sure. So we're going to definitely go more details if your ears perked up at the sound of that. But also probably then, would it naturally think about talking about quality scores here? And we've explained, for those that don't know, there is that auction. But if you put a bit, and you mentioned this earlier, if you have a specific search term, a specific landing page for that specific thing, not only is it going to get you cheaper clicks, but it's also going to help you convert better. And this is probably where explaining where quality scores come in, right?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, as you said, Google is about a big part of where you sit on the search results page. So that's position 1, 2, 3, or 4, or at the bottom of the page, is in a lot of ways determined by the amount, your maximum cost per click limit for that keyword, how much you're willing to spend per click. But there's also a lot more that goes into it, into things like the quality, almost like the relevancy of your ad, the relevancy of your keyword, and the relevancy of your landing page being the three main things. And if those three things are really tight, so the ads are really specific to the keywords, you've put the time in and you've got only one ad set going to very specific keywords, rather than doing something really broad and generic and general, and then they all go to really specific landing pages, your quality score will be higher. And what that means is you have a better chance of ranking above other competitors who may be bidding more. So for an example being, say if you're really specific, you're doing something on buy-to-let mortgages for through limited companies, you have a really specific, that's the only keyword you're bidding on, your ad is literally only all about that, so is your landing page. You may, for example, you'll probably have a lower cost per click than somebody else that's trying to bid on everything for mortgages. Literally, all they've got is a broad match, mortgages, I want to appear for everything. You see some of the biggest kind of online brokers do things like this, like Habito are a good example. They appear for so many different mortgage terms because they have this huge kind of broad match reach, everything that goes out as far as it can. But the chances are, because you've been more specific, more targeted, and the quality of your ad is so much, and landing page is so much better for that specific keyword, you'll probably pay a lot less per click than somebody else that's doing a lot more general, a lot more generic. And that's where the effort and the time goes into, in terms of making those as specific and as good quality as possible, because it saves you money in the long run. So not only will you have a cheaper cost per click, chances are you'll also be above the other advertisers in the auction, in the search result as well. So you could be position one paying, I don't know, £3 a click. Whoever's in position 2 and 3 could be paying £3.50, £4. If they have a lower quality score. So Google still wants to provide a really good result, the same way it does for SEO. It still wants to provide a really good, relevant result, So it will reward you for having what it believes the most relevant result, even though it's in like the paid environment, they still want to make money. But within reason, Google are happy to sacrifice money they would receive on the cost of a click if you have a far superior destination for that specific search.
And you put yourself in Google's shoes. There's two points I want to make on that. Put yourself in Google's shoes. When Google launched, they were not the first search engine. By a long shot, there were like others out there for a while, but they were the best. They were the most accurate. And that's why Google has become part of our vocabulary, is because their absolute number one goal is to provide the most relevant experience for people searching, to be the best search engine, rather than make money. Ironically, they've made way more money by doing that. So that's why they want to do it. Because if you could have a pizza shop and just come up and advertise for anything because, oh, everyone loves pizza, I'll just advertise for everything because I've got a massive budget, then people get annoyed with Google. And that's why they got annoyed with AOL and all the others. So that's why they do it. The second point I want to make is what you said about Habito, their massive budget. Now, naturally, again, the way our sort of brains work, we will look at brands like Habito and Barclays and contractor mortgages, you know, I think CMME that are huge, First Mortgage, etc. These have got huge budgets, so they're not as focused on niches. Yet a smaller firm will think, or a lot of them will think, oh, if Habito are doing it that way, then I should do it that way. That's one of my biggest bugbears, where it's just because people are big and they've got massive budgets doesn't mean they're doing it right or very well. I've worked in a few corporates with massive budgets and they just did not have the best strategy. So don't, my number one tip, don't just copy what the big boys are doing because they ain't doing it right a lot of the time.
Interesting. I have just Googled buy to let mortgage and seen the ads. So four ads, all familiar names: Trussell, Mortgage Key, Molo, I'm not sure I've heard of, but Habito are the only ones that send the traffic to their homepage. The others all send to a specific buy to let landing page. And that's a perfect example. In terms of they have buy to let in the ad, so they've got the specific ad for it maybe, but they will probably have a worse quality score than the other three. Interesting that at the top, which suggests to me they could well be significantly overpaying for the click. They've just put their bid so high, so their money just punches through. Even though Google does want to give the most relevant result at some point, if your bid and your budget is part of all that kind of algorithm of where you sit on that search result, and if you make your bid significantly higher, it still will punch through. If you have a slightly lower quality score, is the other thing to mention on quality scores. It does go both ways.
I don't know why I've thought of this, but the analogy is Habito have got a big bucket of like tennis balls and there's like a wall with a circle of Velcro on it, and they've thrown the whole bucket in one go and some of those balls have stuck to the wall. Whereas you, with your smaller bucket, you will almost throw them like darts, so everyone sticks. They've got that massive bucket, so it doesn't matter to them so much if a lot of those balls hit the ground. And they will, even though they've got the TV advertising, they're well known. That's why they've got an advantage in that way. So maybe their cost per acquisition is similar because of the amount they spend on TV advertising. But in terms of their Google ads, don't copy them, I think is the point.
The other one we have as well, we always see, is CMME.
Yeah, that's who I meant when it was contracts and mortgages, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, see, they're ones as well. In terms of,
and
yeah,
they are specialists as well.
They're specific. I just search for mortgages sometimes and they show up. Yeah. And the ad is all about being contract and mortgage specialists and things like that. It may be that I'm in a search audience, which is something we can discuss at another time.
Yeah,
possibly. No,
so yeah, you're right.
More likely. But yeah, even still, So yeah, just back to quality score. So your quality score is basically a score out of 10. Normally, we're quite happy if we're like maybe a 7 or an 8. If we're sort of below that, we think, okay, there may be something we need to improve. Do we need to split our campaign out a bit further? Do we need to improve the landing page somehow? But 7 or 8 we're happy with. It's very rare to get a 10. We tend to get 10s on branded campaigns. So if you're John Smith Mortgages, your keywords, John Smith Mortgages, your ads, John Smith Mortgages, your website is all John Smith Mortgages, then you are probably going to get a 10 for that. And that does then contribute to your cheaper cost per click. As we say, we've already done the podcast on branded PPC campaigns. That's like quality score being a 10 is why you'll probably only pay 30, 50, 70p for your click on your brand name, when somebody else and sells another advertiser will have to spend maybe 3 or 4 quid, because whilst your quality score is so high for John Smith Mortgages, their quality score will be so low because it's quite clear there's no real way that they can try and prove that they're John Smith Mortgages. So yeah, that's a good example of quality score working well.
Excellent. Fantastic. So you've got like your costs. Is this where you would then move into looking at click-through rates and things like that? Or
yeah, so click-through rates, then important. Okay, so click-through rate is, okay, so for how often am I'm seen, how many clicks do I see? And click-through rate is a bit of a funny one. There's no good or bad click-through rate, depending on how that traffic sort of performs when it hits your website. But normally we're looking for maybe a slightly higher click-through rate of kind of maybe between 6 and 15%, I think, depending on what it's for. The higher search volumes, you are probably going to have a lower click-through rate because there's fewer searches. So yeah, click-through rate is important. One of the other things we also look at as well, that we look at in the metrics, is the estimated first position bid. And this goes back to almost what we were saying about, particularly on like local campaigns. Say like in Nottingham, we're running our campaign. We had our maximum cost per click set about $2.50, I think it was. Around then, we'll discuss it in a minute, but our search impression share, a metric we'll talk about later, was quite low. And we just weren't getting high. So what we look at is you need to run it for a few days, your campaign for a few days for this metric to come through. But then it shows you what your estimated, you can see a few things. You can see your estimated first position bid and your estimated first page bid. So what's the bid just to get on the bottom of page one? But what's the bid to get the absolute top of page one? And it sort of gives you a bit of an idea of what you should be paying to be at the top. And it links in with your quality score a little bit. So say on conversely, you could have some instances where you think, all right, I'm at the top and I'm paying £3.50 for a click. Okay, fine, depending on what it's for. But you look at that estimated first position bid and that comes through at maybe £2.90. You'll think, hang on, I seem to be overpaying 60p per click. And that sort of then is where you think, okay, is there something up with your quality score? Is your quality score not as high as it should be? Is there something else you need to fix? Because it could be that you're overpaying for your clicks. And that's just another indicator that it could be when you look at that. So that's something else we'd look at, obviously, whilst we're in that kind of mindset. But yeah, click-through rate, the higher the click-through rate, the better, because what it tends to do, it tells Google that your ad is relevant in terms of people like your ad based on the search term. Again, it helps to feed into the quality score. So a higher click-through rate, the better. But then you're also, conversely, your click-through rate will be higher the higher your bid. If you're at the top of the page, you'll see more clicks than you will as if you're in position four. And so it goes a little bit hand in hand with your bid and budget as well. If you have a low click-through rate, it might be that you need to improve something with your quality score or maybe put a bit more money behind your bid.
And I would say as well, if you're spending your whole budget daily, then your click-through rate's probably not a big issue because you're only paying when you get clicks anyway. It's don't get hooked on what that number is. You maybe need to pay less attention to this the lower your budget is, do you think? Would you say it's if you're getting the click?
With a lower budget, I'd be more concerned about the search impression share. So what the search impression share is, say, okay, so how much do I appear for the amount of searches in a day? So say there are 100 searches in a day, for example, how many of those do I show for? So say if I show for 80 of them, my search impression share is 80%. Well, that might suggest a few things. It might suggest my bids aren't high enough, so I'm not always at the top of the page, or my daily budget is too low to get in front of all of those searches. And that's normally a bit of an indicator on whether you have enough budget for that kind of specific search term. Again, there's no kind of like good or bad search impression share. We have some campaigns that run really well, like a 25% impression share, because the search volume of those are really high. But if you are running a campaign on a search terms that have a lower search volume, then you do really need to have a higher search impression share. And it could explain why, it's an indicator. It's an indicator of why your campaign might not be performing. But that's more of a case it's not performing because you're not seeing the clicks, you're not seeing the traffic, your quality score isn't good enough, your bids aren't high enough. If you're trying to get remortgage traffic, but you've capped your bids at £2 a click, your search impression share is going to be really low because you're just not bidding high enough. You're not competitive enough on the money side with your bid. Even if you think, well, I've got this amazing landing page, amazing ad, the keywords are really specific. This is one of those instances where, yeah, if you're massively short on the bid, then your search impression share is going to be really low. And if you've got a low search impression share, you're not being clicked. No one's going to turn into a lead is basically it. So again, search impression share is another indicator. It's more important, I think, if you have a lower budget and or you're looking at more or lower volume search terms or more specific search terms, because they're ones where you really need to be at the top of.
Cool. And I suppose it could give you a bit of an indicator if you're thinking about scaling up. Is there room? If you've got 100% search impression share with your existing budget, then there's no more opportunities. Then if you've got 100% search impression, you're seeing it all the time, but then your click-through rate is low, that's probably when you want to look at your click-through rate and get more, obviously, traffic from those searches. Like some of it's going elsewhere. But I suppose it just depends on where you're at, how much you're spending, have you got a fixed budget, if you're spending that already, or whether I've worked for brands where we were maxing out and they were looking at creating another brand to compete with themselves because they wanted position one and position three. So they got me working on two different brands for the same thing, maximizing the traffic with two different brands. But that was because the budget was insane. We were spending like 50 odd grand a month plus. So it just, yeah, it's, I suppose it's understanding what KPI is relevant for you in what situation you're in, and not overanalyzing stuff that's not relevant if it's not relevant to your situation, if I've not confused everybody just then.
Yeah, that's right. So it's understanding what metrics are relevant depending on how your campaign's set up. The other thing I will say on search impression share as well, which is an interesting one, is it's important to remember that, and Google knows this, is not all searches are of the same quality. So in terms of what we mean by that, we set up our campaigns up to a degree to try and, obviously this is what we want for our outcome, but we want a degree of control as well. But we try and get our ads to show in front of people that are more likely to convert. Then Google knows who's more likely to convert based on their previous online behavior, the online behavior of most people. They have a bit of a good idea of who's maybe more likely to turn into a lead and who's not. So that's the other thing to remember with search impression share. So I'm looking at I've got a campaign in front of me here for a mortgage broker, performs really well. Our search impression share is 28%. But that's not to say, okay, great, we could just scale our campaign up three times and we'll get three times the results. That's not necessarily quite going to happen. And again, this is why PPC is really difficult again, because we may be that 28% of the search we see might be the best 28% of that search term. The people that are searching for mortgage broker, the 28% of people who are most likely to turn into a lead. If we think, right, let's stretch that out to 50%, it's not to say we're going to get exactly the same results twice. We're going to have this element of diminishing returns, because our ads may start showing to people who are deemed worse quality, but we're trying to get in front of more people by increasing our budget, increasing our impression share, but they may not be the same quality of clicker. Which again, so whilst our lead volume will probably go up, our efficiency, I would say, could be more likely to go down. It could be that we start paying more for our leads, even though the volume increases, because our ads are being shown and clicked on by people who aren't as good a quality as what we're maybe seeing at the minute.
Absolutely. And I think mortgage broker as a term is one where they could be looking to remortgage, they could be a first-time buyer, they could be moving house, they could be doing all sorts, that not just because it's the same search term, it's a different person each time. So it's those, whereas when it's a self-employed mortgage search term, they're all self-employed, but they could be someone self-employed earning 80 grand, someone self-employed just started 6 months ago. So it's like you say, the more you run these things, the more sort of Google can learn who converts well and put you in front of those people more often as well. So you're absolutely right in thinking that don't expect to double your budget because you've got available searches and get the same results. It is an absolute minefield, and it's no surprise that people struggle, and I think people struggle more on what we're going to talk about in the final episode on the conversion side. This, although we've made it sound really difficult and complicated, this is the easier bit. It's convincing people that you're worth speaking to that's the harder bit. We'll come on to that later on. Any other indicators we should be looking at? Maybe depending on the way they bid, if they're not doing what we call an exact match, what are the actual searches to come up? Because we talked about you don't want to be coming up for mortgage broker jobs and creating this like negative list and the actual search term report, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good example. So say if we're doing like a local campaign or something, take Nottingham, for example, we're looking at a campaign for mortgage broker Nottingham and it sort of converts well. But the problem is, so our cost per conversion is really good. But as you said earlier, our search impression share is pretty high. Our search impression share is maybe 80%. We're quite happy with the quality, or at 90% or whatever. The problem we've got is that we can't really scale that up too much more. We might risk, in terms of, we could try and scale it up, but we might risk seeing lower quality clicks, might become more inefficient. So what we might want to do is something that's a broader match. So what we'd do as an exact match is somebody that's looking for exactly mortgage broker Nottingham in that exact order. What we might have to do instead is something called a broader match, or there's a phrase match. Interesting, there's something we did called broad match modifier, but that's being phased out.
Which is annoying.
It is annoying. So what you can do is what's called a phrase match. So for example, we search for mortgage broker. With a phrase match, you can have mortgage broker. So that's there in that kind of order, but it could be, mortgage broker Nottingham. But then someone might have things like mortgage broker, search for things like mortgage broker Nottingham near me, or a certain area, or speak to a mortgage broker Nottingham, or talk to a mortgage broker Nottingham. Best mortgage broker Nottingham. All these sort of further keywords that could be relevant that you're missing out on because you're really strict with your keywords on an exact match. So what you can start to do is then stretch those out. And then it's a bit of a discovery sort of piece of work in some instances, because that's how you can find out new keywords that convert. But obviously you're paying for that. and then you're paying to learn to a degree. You sort of think, okay, yeah, we find that these keywords that we haven't really thought of are converting really well because they're being swept up in the broad match or broad match modifier or the phrase match. But we can see these ones aren't actually working quite so well. But we've had to pay to find that out is the issue. But what it does let you do, it does stretch out, allow you to stretch out your campaign to similar keywords and get in front of more searches that could be likely to convert. And yeah, we do find it happen. We do find broad matches convert pretty well. And as I say, it's a really good exercise for sort of finding new keywords to then think, okay, this keyword converts really well. I'm going to put that as an exact match or something like that and start to run a slightly different campaign. But yeah, you make a good point about negative keywords. So if you are running a broad match keyword, you need to consider, okay, I'm going to be appearing for broader searches. I have less direct control over the keywords I'm appearing for, but that's the point. But there may be some keywords you don't want to show for. Good one you said in terms of, yeah, it was like jobs. I want my broad match. I've got mortgage broker. But the problem is, unless I put jobs, for example, as a negative keyword, my searches all appear for mortgage broker jobs, which obviously isn't relevant. That's not what I want to be getting in front of. And there's things like free is another one.
Yeah, I was going to say fee-free.
Free mortgage broker. If you do charge a fee, then obviously you don't want to necessarily be appearing for fee-free search terms. So you need to put them in your negative keywords. Yeah.
Or your landing page is completely different because you're almost trying to explain the value. Almost the landing page then would be completely different because it would be a why we charge a fee or why the pitfalls of using a fee-free or something like that. It'd be completely different if you want that to convert. You'd have that as a separate campaign. So you'd probably block it anyway if you do charge a fee. And then if you wanted to expand and get in front of more, it's a completely different ballgame because you're trying to change someone's mind. So yeah, it's really, really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, negatives, particularly if you are stretching it out beyond an exact match, you have an absolute kind of control over what keywords you're showing for, what those bids are. But when you get into a broad match, it starts to as the term suggests, broaden out a little bit more. But then as part of that learning process of knowing what converts, there's also the learning process of knowing what to exclude. As I say, we know mostly what we need to exclude from the start, which is fine. But then sort of, there is always the odd one that sort of comes up and you think, oh yeah, no, that's a new one. But that's where it's important to be on it and making sure you've only maybe seen one or two clicks of that. So you're not really wasting too much money on stuff you don't want to be showing up for. But it is a bit of a discovery period piece of work when you are doing that broader match. But that's almost the cost of and the investment of getting out in front of more people that is going to bring in you more leads over time.
We covered a lot of ground. I'm glad we split this into like separate episodes because we were planning on talking about all KPIs in one episode. Anything else you think really important, anyone running ads, anything else that we specifically look at that's quite important or have we covered it all?
They're the key things to look at, I think. They are the main things we'd look at. The only other thing I'd say is be aware of your devices. I think we've spoken about this before.
Yes.
But that's the other kind of, whether it's a quick fix or quick improvement, where you say if you're running your campaigns for a while, and you think, okay, so my cost per conversion is okay. What you could actually do is go check in your devices. And you may find you've actually got an amazing cost per conversion on mobile, but a really terrible one on desktop, or vice versa. And so that's where you may want to think, okay, what you can do is then adjust your bids specifically or stop your ads showing on mobile or desktop or vice versa. Or you can just say, all right, so my conversion rate on mobile isn't great. I'm paying £3 a click. It'd be fine if I was only paying £2 a click. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to decrease my budget on mobile by 33%. So I'm only happy to spend £2 a click rather than £3 a click. You'll show up for less searches, you'll show up less often. But if it still converts at the same rate, then, well, you might get some good value leads. Not great for your volume, but good for your value. That's the other thing to think about. Remember, with Google Ads, is the biggest challenge with it is balancing that volume and value. With a low budget, you can get good value, but the volume is the problem. But then it's when you start to scale up, the volume starts to increase, the value can start to maybe, in some instances, if you're not careful, slip a little bit. And that's what we say about in terms of thinking, okay, great, I've got 20% search impression share, so I'm just going to double it and see exactly double the results, or maybe the cost per conversion may come down. For some, it may work, but for others, it might not work quite that efficiently. And that's where you sort of need to think about maybe trying something else or looking at something else with it. But it's, the only thing I'd say was that devices, sometimes even locations. Locations is a big one. Say if you're running a national campaign, what it's worth looking to see what your cost per clicks and conversions are like over various regions, because London typically has a high cost per click. If you haven't specified that you want to exclude London, then you could be getting swallowed into some more expensive clicks. Mortgage broker keywords can be 8, 9, 12 quid a click in London because of the competition, property values and everything else that goes with it just makes it more valuable traffic. And it may be that, okay, I don't really want to get into that kind of scrap. My cost per click's a bit high. If you exclude London or see what your cost per clicks are like elsewhere, then you might be able to bring that down. And then, so yeah, location and device is the other thing we look at. You can start to look at other things as well, things like demographics and search audiences, but I think that's maybe one for another episode, perhaps. Yeah, really advanced in terms of looking at specific search volumes, demographics, interests, and overlaying certain audiences and things like that, which I touched upon very briefly with things like CMME. That's one for another day, I think, really. But yeah, they're the key things we'd look at, really, and just understanding. And also even looking through your ads. Google, to be fair, is quite good at sort of showing your best performing ad. But sometimes you may look and see, actually, this one's converting at a cost per lead of 20 quid. This one's 25. This one's 30. It's been running for a couple of months now. I think I'm going to, I'd never only have one ad running, but I may think I'm going to pause these two and put something else in instead. You always really want to have a rotation of around three ads. It generally just makes everything run a bit better. And yeah, I'd potentially look at the ads that way. But as I say, Google does tend to be quite good at showing the best performance.
If we haven't completely put you off running ads.
It's not even a sales pitch, is it?
No, it's like, actually, be careful. We don't want people to waste their money. You know, yeah. I don't think anyone does. And I also think, look, if you're paying for someone to run some ads for you and they charge a low fee as well, you've understood here, if you've listened to this point, how much work goes in. If they're not going to do that, then again, is it worth doing yourself as well? And then if you are going to do it yourself, you haven't got the time to understand all those things. Can money be better spent elsewhere? We're probably going to do an episode on like PR and offline marketing, because we've found some clients that we've onboarded recently who have built up a really good business and they've spent their marketing budget on PR. And what that has done is increase the number of people that search their name specifically. And then when we've come in and worked with them, it's like an overnight success. They had a rubbish website. Now they've got a good one that converts. And it's like just increased the amount of people inquiring overnight because they spent money on PR beforehand. If you're not at that point where you're going to hire in someone in-house or hire an agency, or you're just doing it on the cheap because of what you can afford, maybe there are better things that are not digital marketing to do. They may not bring a immediate return, but in terms of the value there, I think it's definitely worth an episode on that. So we don't want to put you off. We want you to get as many inquiries as possible, but I think it's good just to understand everything that goes on behind the scenes, everything you've got to think about. And it's not just it's not a cookie cutter approach that goes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's different. And it makes it really frustrating for us. So whilst obviously we've got a lot of experience in it, it's obviously very helpful that we're not starting from scratch from each one. We can't sort of sit and say absolutely or definitely exactly what is going to happen with each one. And it is frustrating. But yeah, it's just the way it runs in terms of also how the quality of your Google Ads account and
how many reviews you've got.
In terms of things 5,000 like that.
5,000 5-star reviews, your conversion rate's going to be higher than if there was zero reviews and everything else was the same.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. All right. That was very enjoyable. We're going to be back next time. So we're in the next part of the podcast. We'll be doing KPIs for SEO, again, attracting. And then we're going to do another episode on the KPIs for converting. So we talked about obviously getting traffic. I think I did say earlier on that's the easier bit, although we made it sound really complicated. So yeah, tune in for all three. And if you've got any questions, head over to the Facebook group, Advise Assemble. If you have enjoyed the podcast so far, drop us a little cheeky review on iTunes. Why not? And then we'll see you next time. Nobody does. So if you've heard me say that and you haven't, just go and do it. We'll really appreciate it. Don't sound too desperate. I'm not gonna edit that bit out either.
No, nice.
But there you go. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye.